See, the toughest thing with that is that we got to admit that we're wrong. And the hardest thing is after everybody done pat you on the back and told you how much of a good Christian you are, how much you know the word, how much your Greek and Hebrew is, how much you've blessed their life, and then all of a sudden you got to go home to lack. I just believe something is wrong with that picture. Touch your neighbor, say, something is wrong with that picture. So the first and foremost cure is that we got to get back to fearing the Lord. I remember that before I got saved, if a preacher walked down the street, half time, if he was on the sidewalk, we got out of the way. And we gave way for the preacher. I'm from the Catholic Church. I was a little Catholic boy. I used to ride down the street or walk down the street when I got in front of the church. I did my little... I had my respect for it. But nowadays, people will come into church and curse you out. They'll come into church and they'll steal everything out of the church. Whereas in time past, if you were walking with someone down the street and they were talking some dirty talk when they got in front of the church, boy, you better shut up. I'm telling you, that was a fear of the Lord. See, when I was a little Catholic boy, I didn't know nothing about salvation, but grew up that way. But the fact is that we knew how to make each other tell the truth. Oh yeah, we had a plan on how we do that. Whenever somebody would say, tell us something, and we say, well, is that the truth? And you say, yeah, that's the truth. He says, I'm going to give you the lightning test. But somebody said, what is the lightning test? Well, first of all, everybody loves their mama. So the lightning test would be, my brothers would say, okay, if that is the truth, I need you to swear. I want you to say, I hope lightning strike mama if I'm lying. Well, you see, we knew we love our mama, and we knew better than to play with God because we had a fear of God. Then all of a sudden, they knew whether you were telling the truth or not. Now you ask somebody, they'll swear before God. They'll put their hands on the Bible. They will do everything to convince you, and they know that they're not telling the truth. I'm just trying to tell you that needs to be the fear of the Lord back again. Number two, I'm trying to move right along. Number two is, not only do you have to fear the Lord, but crucify the flesh. Ooh, tell somebody, say, crucify the flesh. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, that's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Tell somebody, say, you got to crucify the flesh, baby. My favorite one is the Message Bible. Let me just read this to you. It says, I identify myself completely with Christ. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Tell your neighbor, say, we need to be crucified with Christ. One thing that I found out is that as much as you say I'm crucified with Christ, the flesh will always want to assume command. Oh, yeah, the flesh always want to assume command. You can come out of a high service, talking about how much you love the Lord. Let somebody rub you the wrong way. Yeah, you will find out that if you are not mindful, your flesh will take you to a place you don't want to go. Tell your neighbor, said, if Jesus live in us, he's able to have me live a life free of rebellion. Uh-huh. You see, why? Because we are born again. Tell your neighbor, say, we're born again. We are new creatures in Christ. We got to understand that we are living under the principle of identification. See, under the principle of identification, that means that so he is, we are also. The way Christ is, I am that way too. He died, so did we. He was buried, so are we. He rose from the dead, we rose again too. Resurrection power dwells in him. Resurrection power dwells in me. Look what the scripture says. The scripture says, and you he have quickened. He has quickened your mortal bodies. You, when he rose up, he says, I give you the same power that I have. We're walking around letting stuff get the best of us when we got the better in us. You better learn how to pull out your machete of the word and say, look, come on, baby, bring it on. You got to understand that you're not weak. You are not feeble. You are mighty through God. Yeah. God said, I'll cause you to pull down some strongholds. Is there anybody in here got some strongholds in their life that need to be pulling down? Well, slap your neighbor, high five, say, baby, I'm pulling it down. I'm pulling it down. I'm pulling it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Obedience and submission to the government of God is what Jesus was all about. He says he was quick to say, not my will, but yours. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. We need to learn how to reverse that thing. He says, I came to do the will of the one who sent me. We need to be saying, I came to do the will of the one who saved me. Mm-hmm. And look, since we are connected to Christ in identification, rebellion is inconsistent with our true Christian nature. You ain't supposed to be comfortable being rebellious. The Bible says that sin, we sin at given time, we sin because the Bible says to say you didn't sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So we sin, but we hate it so much, we don't live in it. It's not a part of our nature. You see, we've got delivered from the Adamic nature.